This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Radio, and again I'm with Charles Olsky, Superintendent of Johnson County School District. Hello, Charles.
Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to see you too. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
Good. Excellent. So, Charles, I was hoping today that we could talk about something which has been, I think, you know, we've been hearing more and more about, which is school-parent relationships, and it's sometimes described as parent engagement or parent involvement. And I was hoping that we could talk a little bit about what the vision is from Johnson County School District's point of view about getting parents involved and what that really means and what it looks like.
No, that's a great question. So, you know, as we come out of COVID and we're reopening our doors and setting the parameters about what is parent involvement, getting parents involved back in the schools, I know there's limitations with that, but that's just, I guess to rephrase it, is parents being involved in their students' education, whether it's knowing what's going on in their classroom by asking the teachers or if there's questions, but more importantly, engaging with their kids after school and in the evenings and saying, hey, are you doing okay? What do you need help with? How is school going? But, you know, trying to keep that positive relationship and communication between the teacher and the building administrator and knowing what's going on to the level that, you know, we can still do the things we need to do to educate kids, because it can be very complex. And I know last night we talked about our school improvement plans, which kind of goes into that, and we can lead into that later. But, you know, just getting parents to be engaged with their kids and in their lives, and very similar to what we're doing with sources of strength, you know, and a lot of it's social emotional, but making sure kids are not only supported in schools with the teachers, but making sure parents are, you know, engaged with their kids after school. So it can look from all the way from, you know, being a parent volunteer if there's time and there's a need at the school, to attending parent teacher conferences, to attending a concert, to anything that your child's involved with as the school relates to that, keeping that open communication between the teacher, and I say open, but positive and open communication with the teacher and the building administrator, even up to us as a superintendent and what's going on in the district. When we ask for committees or ask people to volunteer to be a part of something, is just actively being engaged. We sometimes, there are people that are always on that committee. It's the same people, repetition. And I think we heard the comment when we talked about the right road, some of the busiest people are the ones that are there. And so just be one of those busy people. Be one of those busy people that when there is a need, which I think is super awesome about Johnson County and the community here, when you look at the Boys and Girls Club and you look at some different things, there's a lot of parent and community concerns around kids, is just be involved. When we need it, we need it. You know, our kids are in Johnson County are raised through something I think is pretty special, where if you go back east in a city of 8 million people, you know, people know who people are, or it's a small-knit community, and it has its pros and cons with that. But when you ask about that engagement in schools, it's just that communication with your child, with the school, when you can attend, but just being involved, whatever level, but being involved.
Okay, thank you. I think that describes it very nicely. I think that Power School allows you as a parent to dip in and be involved, but not engaged, maybe. And so
yeah,
what you're asking for is really for people to be physically, humanly present.
Yeah, and you know, so Power School has changed. I mean, there was a day and time where everybody just waited, and there was even probably a time that, you know, the report card being mailed home got intercepted before it went home, and that day and age is over. So parents can know where their kids' grades are more spontaneously than we used to in the past. But it's not just that virtual knowledge. It's being physically engaged with your child, and, you know, when the school needs you or needs assistance, you know, the more we can volunteer to help with those scenarios, the stronger we're going to become as a district.
And is that a shift for educators in our school district? Is that a different mindset that we're moving to?
Yes and no. I think there's a fear out there with everything that's happening in society with, you know, what we have in our libraries, our teachers are, you know, indoctrinating our kids or misleading our kids. So there is some fear that there's going to be some misperceptions, but the more human communication and one-on-one to know what's really going on or asking those things without overloading our teachers. I mean, let's be real. Technology has not only changed the way we teach kids, but it's changed the way we communicate with parents and kids. Google, Facebook, Messenger, we have apps now that go out to parents on what's happening in the classroom and just responding. So there's probably more communication by tenfold than there's ever been 15 or 20 years ago. But sometimes that can be an overload too. But just paying attention, asking what you need to ask, and you know, relationships are built on sometimes in-person communications, and that trust factor comes with that. But is it new? I'll say yes to that in this fact, and it's not a word that people like, but we still are trying to find the new normal after COVID. We shut schools down. We locked things down nationwide. We kind of locked people out. And then we came back in the great state of Wyoming, and we just kept educating kids. But we still had parameters. Now that those parameters are gone, the way we can educate kids because of technology and virtual things has changed. So teachers are learning, are still trying to settle in, and working probably harder than they've ever worked as educators to kind of find those deficits that were missed, teaching on a new, whole new platform that's now accountable, not just because we have to do it. I mean, we came to one digital platform that we're working on with Canvas. So, I mean, it's not like Canvas has been a platform that's been around for 20 years and we know how to navigate it, or parents or students. I mean, they're pretty proficient in it, but we're still trying to find the perfect balance of what this all looks like as we change the way we educate our kids.
So can you describe for people who may not be familiar with Canvas what it does, what it means, what is required?
Oh, great. So anyway, Canvas is the digital platform of where assignments go, where assignments get turned in. Teachers push them out to kids. Kids can go look at it at any point in time. That's why we're one-to-one with technology. So the old-fashioned backpack with 7 books on it that weighed 50 to 60 pounds with your notebooks that goes home, and it was the child's responsibility to make sure they had the assignments in the backpack so they can complete it. Well, now it goes in your Chromebook, and then you go home, you access the assignment, you turn the assignment in, you can have resources through it. So really it's the new digital backpack of what we're doing. So the kids just have to theoretically go home with their reading material or their Chromebooks to access what's happened in school at any time.
And the accountability piece, the piece that's changed, is rather than remembering all 7 textbooks and the notebook and the sheet with the homework on it, is to remember the charger to plug in your Chromebook too.
You are absolutely right, because you got to have a battery and it has to be able to work when you get home.
And so what are you able to track from Canvas in terms of student accomplishments and achievements? Are you able to catch problems or successes faster than you were before?
As teachers are very proficient with that, with the new digital platform, you access teachers. If there's words or writings where, you know, there's a social emotional thing, there's just a lot more ability to track. So students get feedback in a rapid manner. I mean, reality is we used to turn typed papers in, typed. I'm not saying word process. And then it would get written all over. And then you'd have to go back and retype the whole document. We live in a world where, you know, a teacher can make suggestions or edits or comments. You can instantaneously make those changes and then eventually get feedback. Just all that proofing. I mean, the software and what we do in our world now has just changed the way we used to do education.
So what other changes do you think there are coming in education? Because it seems we've come a very long way from academics only, that schools and teachers are now, and I think COVID maybe accelerated and threw some light onto this. You know, there is a lot more in the sort of the social welfare of a child than there was maybe previously in previous decades in terms of, and what does that mean for educators going forward. I mean, there is so much going on. They're learning digital platforms and how to, you know, use those tools and those interfaces. They're being required or asked to have greater collaboration, for example, in professional learning communities amongst each other and with parents. I mean, there are only so many hours in the day. How is that all shaking down?
It's shaking down in a way that comes back to that teachers are becoming overwhelmed. So finding that balance, I think that social emotional piece, we swung it. The reason it's so high right now is because we swung to the pendulum, which we had to at the time, to a environment that didn't have that personal relationship, that personal one-on-one encounter, and you know, swinging it back to teachers being in front of kids in the classroom and not behind the screen, just pushing out assignments. So that's looking different. But it's also really truly made us look at the number of standards we have to teach to. So the profile of graduate is I think, kind of accelerated to the point where we're starting to look, maybe we're requiring too much out of our teachers. And because you said some great one great word that I keep in mind, time. Okay, we have not increase the amount of instructional time that we are allowed to work with kids. However, we have been required to teach kids more, probably tenfold over the last 15 to 20 years. Kindergartners now are expected to come into kindergarten at probably the same level as a first grader would have left first grade 20 years ago.
And so how is that supposed to be accomplished?
And so then now preschool has become a big push in order for kids to be successful. So
it all everybody goes to preschool.
But not everybody goes to preschool. So we're seeing the push coming back to, you know, where were we? What were we doing? How are we doing? Because when you take the model and you look where a senior needs to be, and then you start developing curriculum, you do backwards mapping of where it needs to be, there's a certain fundamental base that goes all the way down to, and K-1, 2 is just critical. I mean, that is the foundational years. So I think the state is doing the right thing. I think education is starting to look at what that looks like. And I know you heard me say this last night in the work session, but the state of Wyoming has, in my mind, one of the highest bars academically in the nation with what we expect from our kids, which can be very good, but it can also be very devastating, because not maybe looking at the profile of a graduate, maybe we've set the bar too high. Now this is where that social emotional piece, kids, just because kids are not college bound doesn't mean they're not going to be successful, which opens that door to vocational world and what we're doing to get kids into the trade schools and things of that nature. So I think we're seeing a shift to kind of move back, even though we've shifted to a digital platform. But finding that balance, we just need to track it over the next couple of years. It's part of that teacher retention. What are we doing to recruit teachers when there's not that many teachers? But more importantly, what are we doing to support teachers, which trickles down to students? Because if teachers are expected to push so much onto the plate of a child to be successful on at the end of their grade level, okay, you got to remember you're asking a lot out of kids too. So finding that social emotional, that in-person meeting, kids are kids. I'm to an age where I think I'm maybe close to retirement, but you know what? My days are overwhelmed too. And so are theirs. So they're socially, physically, and emotionally developing in these years. So we can't lose that fact and not just worry about whether they can do addition and subtraction, as we want to make sure that their needs are being taken care of.
And so that, I think, brings us back to the interest in parent collaboration, because you have the social and emotional plus the academic, and the social and emotional part is echoed about from what happens at home and what your relationships with outside of school are as a student. So going back to parent engagement and parent involvement, Is there been research and any study on this, on what the value is and what works best? Are there any tangible goals that we could set?
I think the tangible goal is just being involved with your students or your child's life, and that's academically in their school setting, but also outside the school setting. And, you know, families and parents are struggling at all levels, and that's where I'm going to step into. That's why we have this parent liaison. There are resources in this community to help those parents, whether it's Love and Logic training, because if we could be given the perfect book on what we should do as parents, but there is no perfect book.
Unfortunately, babies don't come with an instruction manual, do they?
They do not, and everybody's a little different. And sometimes we're failing. We're not really failing as parents. We're all in the same boat as parents. Every kid is different. Every situation is different. But what are the parenting skills? How do we support our child? And I think Love and Logic is a great thing for parents. It was good for me and my wife. Because even as educators, it's like, holy cow, it's a whole different world. This is what you're dealing with. Two different kids from the same parents, two completely different personalities. How do you love them, support them, and help them grow, you know, without doing everything for them? We want
them
to
be independent. Can you take a moment to describe what Love and Logic is? I as a parent, went through it and as a class with my husband, and I have to say it was hugely beneficial. Definitely prolonged the lifespan of both of my children.
So Love and Logic from a 30,000 foot view is giving parents permission to allow kids to fail, to build success in, but not doing everything for them. I mean, we learn by doing. Let's be real. We're human beings. And the same with kids. And they're going to challenge us. I knew more than my parents when I was 15 years old. And now that I'm in my 50s, I look back and said, no, you know what? My parents didn't know a lot. I just didn't pay attention. So, you know, where do you set your parameters? When do you let kids learn to fail on their own, but you're still there to pick them up? You just keep them from, you know, failing big and those little obstacles in life. But it's how you communicate with them. What are the words you say so you don't engage and turn something that could be as simple as just to let it go? What's important? It made me and my wife reflect on, okay, is this a battle or how important is this? And it made us reflect on both what I also call being consistent, so we don't play mom against dad. Well, I didn't get it from mom, so I'm going to go get it from dad, all right? And if you have a daughter or a son, they might play that role either way. But it just really strengthened the communication between us as husband and wife. But it made us realize, what do we really want from our kids? And is this a battle we need to fight? Because it's not that big a deal, but a lesson will be learned.
Well, I would certainly add my endorsement to yours of Love and Logic. Is it available in Johnson County?
It is. And through the parent liaison, there's some classes actually coming up. And if parents have questions, you reach out to the building administrators. They'll get you connected through Compass or the parent liaison, and we can support them with that.
That would be great. So maybe you could just take a moment to describe how parent liaison is working in each building. So if somebody is listening and they have a kindergartner, or maybe they have a middle schooler, what is happening in each building that parents can connect with?
So currently right now through Compass with Thrive, which has been around for a while, our parent liaison is focused on right now our K-3. So they're reached out with all kindergartners and in Buffalo and KC, and starting to make parent contacts, letting them know what their roles are. We're working with the principals and counselors. I'm getting monthly updates, and they're starting to connect with parents. And so the parent liaison is I want to say it's a bridge between the parents and the school, but more importantly, they're there to support the parents, maybe help them understand things that maybe they misunderstood about the school, or be an advocate. But more importantly, get them resources. So when they are struggling, or maybe they need codes, or maybe they need some training like Love and Logic, or where do you go to do this? So that's going to be their main goal. And we're starting to put the data together, because right now the foundation's being built. So at the end of the year, you know, sitting down and looking at how many parent contacts and what we've done with the counselors and with parents, and names are out of it. I mean, I'm going to be very honest. This is very confidential. It's just going to be, hey, I had, you know, we had 350 parent contacts this year, and we were able to, I want to say through Compass, they put out over 200 coats, so winter coats or things like that. So those are the kind of things that are exciting numbers to see.
Thank you. And so that's in each school building, there is some form of organized.
It's focused on parent liaison. So the parent liaison is right now focused on K-5.
Okay. Thank you. And are there plans to kind of bring it into?
So it's phased. So, I mean, I'm just giving you an example. Sheridan 2 started this, and they had it for many, many years. And just within the last year, it went from an elementary to middle school. So you really got to phase it. And if it's done right, your parents that in your early ages, by the time they get to middle school, are going to hopefully say, hey, we really like this. We need to continue it, because it's something that will need to be funded from the district, but a lot of these programs are also funded through organizations in the community. So,
thank you. Thank you for describing that. And you mentioned a couple of times last night, I was present for that, school improvement plans and so on. Would you like to just mention a little bit so that people can hear what's going on?
Yes. So last night was the first annual, what I want to call, presentation from administrators on school improvement plans as we look at their data and the state report cards that came out for each building and the required to put a plan together.
And when you say school improvements, that's not physical necessarily. That is what is happening in education for those?
Great question. So the state, based on your state assessment, comes back and rates each school on how kids are performing academically. And so they give you ratings, and based on every areas, which we talked about last night, and then we're required, if you're just partially meeting, which we have a couple, which is Cloud Peak and Buffalo High School, have to have a plan together. However, I'm asking that all buildings have a school plan of improvement. So last night we had an opportunity to present that to the Board of Trustees. But I guess the new thing is, which I got to commend the admin team. I asked a lot of them. I asked them to take their plans and their PowerPoints and do a video recording of that to present it. So they put that out to the board, and then we presented it last night. And then we're going to clean the document up today, and then we're going to put it out to the community, because I think it's important for the community to have access to what's happening in their schools. That's that next piece of how important, what is school accountability? What are we doing academically? So sometimes it's not as simple, and I know that, because educators, we see a whole different world, but as a parent, you don't see everything that we're held accountable for. So to have these presentations readily available for parents or stakeholders to see, hey, this is why they're doing an accountability plan or why they're doing a school plan, I thought it went very well. And it's the first time we've went to that level, and it's just going to continue to get stronger. But I would like to encourage parents to ask. But by the time they come back in January, those should be up on the websites for people to look at.
Thank you. And you kindly shared those with 307 Net Radio, and we will be profiling and promoting those too, so that parents can also see them from that platform as well. So thank you. For that. So what else is coming up? We're almost at Christmas time.
Well, we are wrapping up first semester, which I'll be honest with you, Kate, I don't know where the time has gone. I mean, I know we've tried to meet weekly, which has been a highlight, the social media and what we're doing to get that out. But we are at the end of the first semester. We wrapped up fall sports. That means we're in the middle of winter season. Into the first semester. So there is the Christmas concerts, there's the celebrations, there's the play that just finished up, the musicals that went on Monday night. And, you know, you had the Johnson County or the Buffalo Parade. And, you know, just go back to see the community starting to come together. So it's that time of year. And by the way, kudos to the parade. There was a lot of floats, which mean a lot of people had to put a lot of effort in. It's super exciting to see the community come together. The street was packed. You guys were announcing, you were judging. And so it feels good to know that the community is still alive and participating in what they need to. And I'm excited about that. But anyway, we're wrapping that up. We have today, we are in the process of developing what I say cutting edge principal evaluation system. So we started, we had a training this morning to kind of develop a growth model for administrators, which will impact teachers, which will impact kids. That's happening. We come back after in January. This will be the first time we've actually had an in-service one full day for teachers before kids start, so they're more prepared. And then that's going to lead into a couple other PD days, but I do want to take this point to announce that, you know, TAC 1 is coming back January 16th through the 21st.
So, and remind us, TAC 1.
So TAC 1 is the active shooter training that we did last year with local law enforcement. So very similar schedule. We'll be with staff one day. We'll be in the schools. We're going to have some community meetings. And then on Saturday, we are going to be training law enforcement. So the school district, through the use of ESSER funds, is bringing that back. And it's not just about active shooter in schools. This is really about, you know, emergency situations or things that happen in the community, or how do you make decisions. And so there was a lot of good feedback in the schools when they were in the schools, and we're just going to kind of continue that. This will be phase two of phase three, with the goal of having them back 3 years in a row to kind of get things established in our buildings. It gives us an opportunity to look at our facilities, what we need to do, if anything, with our camera systems as we improve. But the sad thing is, what we're seeing in this world with the social emotional piece that we're at now is schools are kind of tightening things up. So more of these events are taking place in your supermarkets or large open areas. So just kind of, you know, helping everybody talk about what that situation looks like. Again, if parents don't want their kids, they'll opt out, but that is coming. And I'd really encourage parents to come to the parent. Couple community opportunities we have in the evening to come ask some questions. And just really, that's where that parent engagement piece is. Not necessarily coming to the school, but coming to those community meetings that we're going to have established.
And I think from everything I've heard you describe about TAC 1, really this is a preparation of students for what they may encounter anywhere at any time in their
life.
This is not just a school issue. This is now an everywhere in the U.S. issue.
It is, and it's also teaching us and making us realize that, you know what, it's that preventative piece, going upstream. Oh, we have somebody who is, you know, struggling. So it comes back to sources of strength, identifying situations earlier so we don't have to. So it takes us away from being a victim to kind of being empowering us to say, hey, you know, this person needs help. We're going to help them in advance. We're going to do some different things and really paying attention to what's happening around them.
And I would just remind listeners that Sources of Strength is a peer-led program in the middle school, and 307.net Radio already did a feature on that, and you can go back and listen to more about what that is and how it works and why it's such a positive program to have implemented in Johnson County School District.
And I love the word. So all these things we've talked about, we're teaching our staff, and more importantly, our students, we're empowering them to make some decisions to be successful in the real world.
Okay. Well, thank you, Charles. Is there anything else that you would like us to know about before we wrap up?
No. I think we have one more visit, or maybe two, so I won't say Merry Christmas now, but the Christmas spirit is out there.
Okay. And thank you very much, Charles. Have a great week.
You too. Thanks.